Before I share those, I just want to honour Mary in this passage. A woman leads the way in this passage. She had got it. Yes, she was deeply grateful for Jesus raising her brother from the dead, but she was there. She knew what was going on exactly and thought of something wonderful to share. But I'd like to share this reflection with you. Have you done something beautiful for the Lord? Have you done something beautiful for the Lord? If I said the name Alexander Solzhenitsyn, would that ring a bell for you? A Czech poet, very much someone who became a mouthpiece against an austere atheism that was ruling his nation. And he accepted a Nobel Peace Prize in 1970. And one of the things that he said in his acceptance speech was he referenced a quote from Dostoevsky. And that was, "Beauty will save the world." And I just want to touch on that for a moment, because I think what Mary did was beautiful. And we've been reflecting on it for the last two millennia. What Solzhenitsyn was saying was that in his society, truth had been gagged. And actually, as a poet, to write things which were beautiful, he felt was a form of protest. And he makes the reflection that beauty and truth actually meet up. So he could point to the truth by crafting poems that were beautiful, because he didn't have the opportunity to speak out against the regime. Can I just say something? In a society and a culture which is totally obsessed with the packaging and the exterior, I'm not talking about exterior beauty, I'm talking about beauty that has come bubbling up, flowing out from the heart, expressing itself as Mary did with this perfume offered to Jesus. Agape, love which is overflowing from the heart. True beauty which we see in creation, a reflection of God, our Creator. So here's the question. Have you done something beautiful for the Lord? And when I say beautiful, what Mary did, it was costly, wasn't it? There was a cost to the perfume. And sometimes doing something beautiful is costly in itself, financially, or costly of time and commitment. But if you think of Mary in this passage, she gives everything that she has. The year's worth of wages, paying for the perfume. And she doesn't just drop it on Jesus' feet. She pours it onto his feet and then uses her own hair in this very sensual moment to wash Jesus' feet. I wonder if that was an inspiration for him when he thought of how to express his love for the disciples at the Last Supper, and then he washed the disciples' feet. It's just a mental doodle. But another mental doodle is this. All that perfume, that aroma, it must have stayed with Jesus and stayed and stayed. And then what happened a week later? He's handed over. He's tortured, bruised, battered, forsaken, a mistrial, and then crucified. And I just wonder if there was still a whiff of that perfume as a comfort to him in his hour of need, that actually there was someone who loved him and appreciated him. Just a thought. The power of beauty, the power of a beautiful act. And folks, I'm quite sure that you do things which are beautiful. I'm sure you do give of yourselves. your time, your money. I'm sure you're faithful. But I want you to be encouraged by the example of Mary, who got it a long time before the other disciples. But I just want us to reflect and think about Mary, who gave herself utterly, an act of devotion, a beautiful act, wholehearted. The other thing I wanted to share with you, as well as doing something beautiful for the Lord, is a second reflection on this passage. And this is a reflection that comes out of a comparing and a contrasting of Judas and Mary. Because the Bible is not a fairy tale. It's not, and they all lived happily ever after. Because actually, there's the tension of the now and the not yet. Paul talks about a straining towards the not yet, our resurrected life. And in this passage, for all the beauty, and just as a side note, Jesus was happy to receive that gift, wasn't he? He was happy to be ministered to by someone else. And I say this to myself. Sometimes I'm happy to minister to. Am I happy to receive? But Jesus freely receives this offering. But I just wanted to make this second observation. There's a spectre at the feast, isn't there? Just when there's the perfume and the nard and this offering, a beautiful offering of worship that we still talk about 2 millennia later, Judas has got his Excel spreadsheet out. That money could have been given to the poor. And let's not be silly about this. It's so good to have a heart for the poor, isn't it? That's a wonderful thing. Poor always close to God's heart. But the thing about Judas's motivation was it's because his hand was in the till, wasn't it? And this is the point I want to make. Mary was wholehearted in her devotion. Judas was running another agenda, wasn't he? Maybe he looked the part and was saying the right things, but actually there was another heart there. There was a heart for money. And the reason I wanted to share this with you, and can I just say, with my sermons, I'm just as accountable to them myself as I share them with you. But I think there's a challenge in this day and age of syncretism, matching one thing alongside another, having other things vying for our devotions. And actually, Jesus, because of who he is, God, because of who God is actually jealous for all of us. God wants us. He wants our hearts, our souls, and our minds. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And dear old Judas, he couldn't do that, could he? He was following Jesus. He heard all the same things as the disciples, but he just thought, no, I'll follow Jesus and I'll have this little bit on the side as well. I'll have the hand in the till. And folks, we see at this moment Judas starting to unravel. He's saying that could have been given to the poor, but not motivated by care for the poor. It was a self-deceit. Mary, self-giving. Judas, self-deceit. He was trying to have his cake and eat it. And I think the bridging thing between both reflections, one about the attitude of the heart, the contrast between Mary and Judas, and then totally separately doing a beautiful thing for the Lord, I think the bridging reflection for both things is giving ourselves wholeheartedly. And I think it's interesting that we have this passage to reflect on, to take us into the passion of Christ. Because as a foreshadowing of the passion where Jesus was just poured out, he gave himself fully. Mary gives everything that she has. She is poured out at the feet of Christ. Have you done something beautiful for the Lord? Are you wholehearted in your devotion to Jesus? One quick practical reflection. Something beautiful we did as a church. And folks, I'm not perfect. My church is not perfect. But I offer this out to you as a little reflection of the rubber hitting the road. We thought and prayed about what our church's vision was. And as a PCC, we prayed for about 14 months. And eventually, we clearly got hold of what it was. And then we thought, well, when's the best time to launch this? Because we want to talk about it and share it. And we decided that the first Sunday in Advent would be the best time to do it. And then I felt it was really important that the next thing we then did as a church reflected the church's vision. Guess what the next thing was on the church calendar? Our Christmas bazaar. The BOGO standard Christmas bazaar. And I really thought about it and prayed about it. And I chatted with a friend of mine at New Wine. And he gave me the inspiration for the idea. And what we did was a Christmas bazaar, but with a difference. And I said to the PCC, how about if we do a Christmas bazaar, but instead of having it as a fundraiser, we have it as a hope raiser. And on the day of the Christmas bazaar, if you're a single parent mum with your children, with no father in sight, worried about how you're going to cover the costs of Christmas, when you arrived at the Christmas bazaar and went to get your programme and said, how much is this? We'd say, it's free. What's this? Oh, it's 6 raffle tickets. Oh, okay. That's your currency. So the mum would take the children to meet Father Christmas and they get a toy and they'd say, how much is this? And we'd go, it's free. Can I have a raffle ticket? They go to the sweet stall and they say, how much is this? And we go, oh, it's free. They go to the dad's stall. How much is this? It's free. The mum's stall, it's free. They go for a baked potato. It's free. They go to the craft stall. How much is this? It's free. And I had one lady in the congregation and she couldn't quite get her head around why we were doing this. And I shared it with her and somebody else shared it with her and somebody else shared it with her. And the good news is on the day, a lady came up to her and she said, I'd like to give you some money. And she said, we're not accepting any money. I want to give you some money. We're not accepting any donations. I want to give you a donation. No, we're not accepting. Why? And this lovely woman who struggled with the whole concept said, Jesus was the free gift from God at Christmas. We want this bazaar to reflect it. And she'd become an evangelist. Now, we're not perfect, but I would argue that that Christmas bazaar was a beautiful thing. It was costly, but it was beautiful. We gave nice stuff away for free. And we just got a sense, because we all got a bit giddy, we got a bit excited doing it. And we had people say, well, why are you doing this? And there was the answer. And we just had a sense that it was along the same lines as a guy called Nicholas had come up with about how to mark Christmas. Giving gifts away to children. And what was fascinating was on the Sunday, we had 3 mums turn up at church. One, an absolute avowed atheist, standing there like that through all the worship songs. But they turned up because they wanted to understand, why did we do that? And it was a beautiful thing that we just offered back to the Lord. Have you done something beautiful for the Lord? I'm sure you have. I'm sure you're faithful people. But I just want to encourage you, like Paul, to press on to that calling that we have, that resurrected life, and to encourage you to be wholehearted, to give yourself to Christ. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, help us to offer ourselves wholeheartedly to you, body, mind, and spirit. Help us in simple ways to do beautiful things for you. And Lord, where we feel half-hearted or double-hearted or separate agendas running, Lord, help us to give every part over to you. In Jesus' name and by your Holy Spirit. Amen.